Well, so we're going to continue our series on Deuteronomy, and there's a video that I would normally show, but we're not going to show that today just because I messed up, okay? So we're going to go into our series on Deuteronomy as we started last weekend, and oftentimes we forget that the entire Bible is all about Jesus, right? Have you ever thought about that, that even the Old Testament is about Jesus? The Old Testament points to Jesus, the New Testament points back to Jesus, and the whole Bible then is all about Jesus. And sometimes we forget about that, and that we know that the only way to read the Old Testament is truly with Jesus at the center of it. And so today we're going to continue reading through the book of Deuteronomy, as we continue to understand what truly the story is of God's people. And the story is all about creation, then a rebellion or fall, and a redemption, and then a restoration. And some of you may be wondering, why are we looking at these books that seem to be so irrelevant? That Deuteronomy is one that isn't the first book most people go to. And the simple answer is that the story of Israel is the story of us. It's our story as well. That Jesus calls the Israelites through faith in him as well. He calls us through faith in him also. And oftentimes we forget that the whole entire Bible is about Jesus. This tells the story of our lives. And it's also the story of what Jesus has done for us. Over the last several months, and especially as I've been on vacation, I've sort of taken some time to evaluate and sort of do some strategic planning about the future of our church. And during this time, I've had discussions about the state of our own church and where we're at, sort of seeking at the greater church and looking what's happening at other churches and what's going well and what's not, and looking at best practices as well, and then also looking at the church and how it fits into culture and what's happening there. And I'm seeing some things that sort of concern me and concern many people in the church. There are some trends that are happening that really are concerning if we are true Christians and disciples of Jesus. One of those concerns is that there are fewer and fewer people who self-identify themselves as followers of Jesus. It's getting less and less with each succeeding generation. And even committed followers who commit and say, "I am a follower of Jesus," are attending worship services like this less and less and less. In fact, the average person today would say that regular attendance is once every 4 to 6 weeks. Where in the past, regular attendance was thought of as what? Every week. You know, how do you communicate with people when they come once every 4 to 6 weeks? It's almost impossible to do so. And God's story cannot be told coming once every 4 to 6 weeks. And the big question I have, and I've been searching for, is why is this happening? Why is this the case? And I believe that the reading that we're going to look at from Deuteronomy today is one that answers that question. And it answers it in two ways. First, our desire to be followers of Jesus is something that must grow from our heart and the Spirit working in us. Perhaps one reason for the decline is that too often we turn, instead of following Jesus and knowing his love and grace, we turn it into a to-do list of some kind. Instead of letting it flow out of response for his deep love for us. Secondly, I think that we've lost the call to pass on our faith to our kids. To do this with a veracity that is unrelenting. That this is the most important thing that we do. In a culture that is busy with so many other things, we have people who view this passing on of our faith as the church's job alone. And that is wrong. Just maybe we've missed the mark when we come to pass on our faith to the next generation, and that we're not doing that well enough. The really good news is it's not too late to start. And that is why we've made a commitment here to try to get our children's ministry going again, to get our youth ministry back on track again. There were too many years where that was not even a focus here at Our Saviors. And we need to get back to where that is a focus of ours. See, it's a call to pass on our deep love of Jesus to the next generation, to have a heart for the next generation. That we can see that it's not about our preferences or what we want, but it's truly understanding the words that God gives to us in Deuteronomy and understanding what he's saying to us. That there is almost nothing more important than passing on our faith to other people. Not just the youngest generation, but to all people. We're going to start at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 15 for our text today. And I'll read this, and you can follow along on the screen. Or if you want to pull out a Bible, if you brought one with you, great. We encourage you to bring a Bible with you every week. If you have it, great. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you don't have one, there's a Bible in front in the pew right there. You can pull that out and read it there as well. If you don't have a Bible at all at home, we encourage you to take the Bible in front of you home. That's your Bible now. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we begin, and these are the words. Now this is the command, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, the promised land, as we talked about last week. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your sons' sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. All the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and you shall be and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is your midst, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroys you from the face of the earth. These words are pretty strong words. These words are strong, and we have to remember to put them in context of what we know and what Jesus has done for us. But reading this whole passage, this reading has a rich foundation of grace that moves us to action. In the first several verses, Moses gives us, and the Israelites as well, a very clear charge to follow the commands that he gives us, the decrees and regulations. Now, how many of us in here love decrees, commandments, and regulations? None of us, right? None of us really love that stuff. And the lie that Satan gives us, but also gives to the world, is this. That these rules and commandments, all it does is inhibit us in our lives. it actually makes our lives boring and is something that isn't fun for us at all. That's the lie that Satan gives to us in this world. But as the text goes on, Moses is clear that by following the order that he gives us in life, that God sets before us and before the Israelites as well, that if we follow that, your life is much more pleasing. Your life is much more in line with what God has called you to do. And actually, your life goes as a blessing beyond any measure we could ever imagine. In other words, God gives us a pattern to live by. He gives us a divine direction that he has called us to live. And these decrees and commands, they're there because he wants the best for us. I mean, Moses' words he uses are these words like this: "Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well for you." See, Moses is trying to encourage them that your life will go well if you do the things that I am suggesting. If you do the things that God has called us to do, your life will go well. See, the commandments that God gives us are not there to keep us from having fun in life. They are there to keep us in line so that hopefully we have a life that is actually a blessing. When do you get in trouble most of the time? It's when you go against laws, right? Now, we know we can't do this perfectly. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came because he knows that we can't live a perfect life, that all we're going to do is make mistakes, and that even though we try to listen carefully and try to obey, that you and I can't do it perfectly. And we need a Savior. We need Jesus. But still, the foundation of God's command is the foundation of who God is. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. We find this in verse 4, and this is what's called the Great Shema. These are the words that are so important to the Jewish faith. It's central to the Jewish faith that they are there knowing that there is nothing besides God, that God is one, and he alone is God, and he has revealed himself to the people. Jesus himself uses these words as well as he answers the question about what is the greatest commandment in Mark chapter 12. He says, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." See, as disciples of Jesus, it all starts with this: to love the Lord our God with everything in us. The idea is that somehow we love God with every part of us, flowing from the identity of who God truly is. That he is the one who has delivered his people from Egypt, and he is the one who has delivered us from our sins and the bondage we had to our sin. He did this by sending his son to give us life through his death on the cross. See, it is from this place that Moses gives the incredible call to pass on this faith to the next generation. He gives them advice on how to do it. He says, first, wholeheartedly do this. And as it says in the NIV Bible, it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." What are you wholeheartedly committed to? What is it that you will give your whole heart to and commit to beyond anything else? Have you ever noticed how those things drive the choices that you make? An example I can give you is this picture here. That was when I received my first black belt. Seems strange, doesn't it, to bring that up? But it's a great image of what I can share with you on what this means, because in order to get there, I had to almost commit everything that I had to get that done. I had to change my diet. I couldn't drink soda, which, by the way, was really hard for me. I had to give time. I had to volunteer. And I had to work out beyond anything you could ever imagine. If you look at the gi that's on, how dark is it? That's all sweat. from a two-hour test that I thought I was going to die in. But my heart was so committed to making sure that I got through that, there was nothing that was going to stop me from doing that. There was nothing that was going to keep me from doing that. In fact, a year before that, I just completed recovery from an ACL replacement surgery. But I still made sure it happened. See, the question is I'm willing to make that commitment for a black belt. How much of a commitment are we willing to make to spread the gospel to the next generation? Are we willing to make a commitment that strong to follow Jesus wholeheartedly with the command that he gives us, to truly look at it and say that everything we're going to do is going to be about spreading the gospel to the next generation and to anyone for that matter who doesn't know Jesus? Are we that committed? Or are we just going to make commitments to things like a black belt that in true reality doesn't mean a thing? See, the Israelites were committed to this. I mean, now these commandments, he says, are first on your hearts. Pass them on to our children, they said, and to repeat them again and again and talk with them all the time about it. He says, tie them to your hands and to your doorposts. Make sure that there's nothing that's going to stop you from identifying this to the next generation. If you've ever been to Israel and you go to the Wailing Wall, you'll see Jewish men putting these boxes on their forehead and wrapping them on their wrist. You know what that is? What? Yeah. It's actually going and showing that they are doing exactly what is commanded here. They are putting all of the teachings right there on their wrists, as it says, and on their forehead. They're taking it so literally that when they pray, that is what they do. And they wear it because that's the commitment they make. They also do what you see on the right there, which is they put it on their doorposts as well, identifying that this is more important than anything in the world, that there is nothing that is going to stand in their way to make sure that they truly communicate this to the next generation. And what I find so interesting is that throughout this text, there is nothing that mentions the church at all. It doesn't say the church is there to pass it on, that it's their responsibility. It's saying that it's your responsibility and my responsibility and each one of our responsibilities to do this. Not the church, not Sean, not Cheryl, but all of our responsibilities is to ensure that we're passing this on to the next generation so that they know God. And that there's nothing more important. See, God has revealed himself in the flesh by sending his son, Jesus. He's the only one that could keep all of God's commandments perfectly. We can't do that. And his reward for keeping it perfectly was what? Death on the cross. To rise from the dead as well. And he did this all for you and for me. And this truly is the character of God, the one who asks us to leave everything to come and follow him and his ways, because he has done all of that for us. Knowing the character of Jesus and how the joy that he has is passed from one generation to another, that is so important. We see that in the New Testament that Jesus truly loved kids, right? I mean, in that culture where kids really weren't that important, in fact, they were somewhat devalued, kids would often die at a very young age, and girls were regularly discarded at birth. And yet, Jesus again and again defends the value of children in the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 19 says this, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." I mean, maybe you noticed that our reading today specifically focuses on families and children, telling them to pass the faith from one generation to the next through the families that are in this world. I mean, I found it sort of eye-opening to hear what Moses was actually saying here. That Jesus welcomes children to him, but yet as we look around our country and our world today, I don't know about you, but I'm overcome by how many kids and families are under stress and distress right now. We see them torn apart by things like war and famine and poverty, insecurity, and all kinds of things going on. Child trafficking, everything. There's no doubt that you've read about many of the stuff that's in the papers as well. It's tempting to ignore all of this and to not think about it at all. Or to think that these issues are simply political. But they're not. What Jesus helps us to see is that behind every one of these issues are people, real people. None of this brokenness brings joy to Jesus at all. Some of these issues impact kids and families. They're really complicated, and I don't envy anyone who's trying to deal with them, but some are less complicated as well. Simple things like serving our kids here in Palm Springs, or serving the children right here at Our Savior's through our youth ministry and our children's ministry, which for some reason we can't get volunteers in. That's a simple way to follow what we hear today, to pass that on to the next generation. See, I'm drawn to the words by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 2, where he says this: I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peacefully and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. See, our first call as disciples is to do what? Pray. Pray for all people. Ask God to help them and for God to intercede and to give thanks for them as well. And then, it's funny how Paul puts this, but our next category is to pray for the leaders that are there as well. Pray for the authorities and all people. And so as a church, I'm going to ask you to join me this week in doing so. I'm going to ask you this week, every day at 8 a.m., to join me in a time of prayer. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, set an alarm, put it in your book, whatever you have to do, set time aside at 8 a.m. every morning for this week for us to pray for children, families, and our government in general. Doesn't take long. I'm asking you for just a few minutes. For all of us to pray that we would impact children, that we would pass the faith on to them, and ask God how he's calling you to help make that happen. All I want you to do is to join us in prayer. Now, if 8 a.m. doesn't work for you, fine, set another time that works for you. But let's join together in prayer this week so that we can pray for God to intercede, for God to have an impact, to intervene in the lives of children and families in this group, in this world and in this Coachella Valley. For God to give us wisdom as well, for God to work out his peace and his goodness in this Coachella Valley and in this country as well and all over the world, and that he would give wisdom to leaders and everyone around us, and that we would find ways to serve compassionately to everyone around us. See, this is a simple way for us to do this, and a simple way for us to understand how God is calling each one of us to take part in the work he is calling us to do. So would you join me right now and bow your heads in prayer as we pray? Dear gracious Lord, we hear this need to pass on our faith to the next generation. And Lord, we will include in that those who other generations haven't passed it on to, but may be older than children but still need to hear the gospel. That, Lord, you set a path for us that no matter how old we are, that truly the purpose you have given us is to share the gospel with others. And so, Lord, today, let us truly understand what Jesus has done for us. Let us understand that Jesus has given everything so that we could be free of our sin, that we could understand that we are forgiven, and that, Lord, we know we have eternal life with you, so there is nothing we have to worry about. And as a response to that, Lord, all you call us to do is follow you. That, Lord, we can't earn salvation, but, Lord, all we can do is rely on what you have already done and then to share that with other people. So, Lord, today, let us find ways on how each one of us are called to share that. Whether it's volunteering in the youth program or in the children's ministry program, if it's sharing the faith outside of this place and throughout the community, which is what we're called to do as well, whatever it may be, Lord, give us the strength, give us the power through your Spirit to go and share the love of Jesus with those around us. And Lord, we pray for those families and children that are really suffering in this world today, Lord. We ask that you would rise up your people to show compassion on them, and that, Lord, we would serve them in real ways, but also, Lord, in any way that you've called us to. We pray for our leaders throughout this world, that, Lord, all authorities would bow to you, and that, Lord, truly they would understand this call to take care of people throughout this world. So, Lord, we pray all of this and pray that peace would come to all situations in this world and that, Lord, more and more people would come to know you, especially the children of this world. So, Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Well, now that we've heard God's word,